Chapter 11. 15 minutes before his scheduled news conference, Elliot Osborne briefed his top aides on what he would and would not tell the press. He would report the findings of the autopsy, and that the cause of death was strangulation. He would not, repeat not, tell them a scarf had been the murder weapon, or about the metallic beading that had edged it. He would say that the victim's body had been wrapped in thick layers of plastic that, though separating and crumbling, had kept the skeletal remains intact.
"Are you going to talk about the finger bones, sir? That's going to really stir up a hornet's nest."
Pete Walsh had just been promoted to the rank of detective. He was smart and he was young. He also couldn't wait to get his 2 cents in, Tommy Dugan thought sourly. It gave him a small measure of satisfaction to hear the boss tell Walsh to let him finish, although he felt like a louse as Walsh's face turned beet red. He and Osborne had been back here at dawn. They had gone over every detail of O'Brien's completed autopsy report and rehashed every detail of the case. They didn't need Pete Walsh to tell them the media would have a field day with this one. Osborne continued.
"In my statement, I will say that we never expected to find Martha Lawrence alive, that it is not unusual for the remains of a victim to be found buried near the place where the death had occurred."
He cleared his throat.
"I will have to reveal that, for some bizarre and twisted reason, Martha Lawrence was buried in contact with other human remains, and those remains are over a century old. As you know, 4.5 years ago, when Martha disappeared, the Asbury Park Press dug up the old story about the disappearance of 19-year-old Madeline Shapley in 1891. It is very likely that the media will jump to the conclusion that the finger bone found with Martha belonged to Madeline Shapley, particularly..."